working from sun to sun. Spend my money when the work is done. I asked my captain what time of day. Looked at his watchman and he walked away.
This is Mountain News and World Report, WMMT's weekly sojourn into life in Central Appalachia. We now invite you to join us for a visit with folks you may or may not know, items of interest to us all, and shining moments in our living history.
Wouldn't mind working from sun to sun, spend my money when the work is done.
Hello, and welcome to Mountain News. I'm Tommy Anderson, and in this episode, we bring you stories about the changing energy landscape of eastern Kentucky. First, from WMMT's Sydney Bowles, we hear about Benham, Kentucky's recent relaunch of an energy efficiency program, Benham Saves. Speaking of saving money, the Hemp Hill Community Center and Black Sheep Bakery have brand new solar panels on their roof. They celebrated going off-grid along with the Black Sheep Bakery's first birthday with a ribbon cutting on Friday, June 21st. We'll listen along to that event, too. Then, from WMMT's Mimi Pickering, we hear updates about Central Appalachian organizing around the Reclaim Act, proposed federal legislation that would more rapidly release funding from the $2.5 billion Abandoned Mine Lands Trust Fund for regional reclamation and redevelopment projects. Officials in Benham, Kentucky recently received an anonymous donation for their energy efficiency program, Benham Saves. WMMT's Sydney Bowles visited the program's kickoff event at the Benham Theater on June 21st, 2019.
Residents of Benham, Kentucky gathered in June to celebrate the relaunch of an energy efficiency program, Benham Saves. The program recently received an anonymous donation of over $200,000 to relaunch, and local officials now hope to help 20 local households save money on their energy bills. Benham is one of 12 municipalities in the Commonwealth to run its own power company. Here's Danny Quillen, the chairman of the Benham Power Board.
The Power Board was created in the 60s. Basically, it was the power grid that International Harvester used when they had mining operations in Benham. When all of the mining operations shut down, the International Harvester Company gave the power grid to the city of Benham, which the city of Benham created a power board. We've had it since the 60s. It's to benefit the people that live within the city. It's also to bring in extra revenue for the city. Benham Saves is an energy efficiency program that we started, I want to say, maybe 6 years ago, give or take a year. But basically what it does, we take money from private donors, and we have an application process. You got to fill out an application. If you're picked, then what will happen is there'll be an energy audit done on the house. And according to the energy audit, it'll show up what needs to be fixed and retrofitted. And then that's where the monies come in from the private donors. We then turn around and work through contractors and other organizations such as COAP, MACID, around the state. But they come in, and the contractors or co-op will be the ones doing the renovations to the house. Once the renovations are done to the house, then there'll be a test-out process. And the test-out process will see how well the work that was done on the house took as far as, you know, if it's going to save the homeowner.
You were telling me earlier that you saved a lot of money from this. You had this done on your own.
I did. It cut my power bill in half.
It's pretty amazing.
It really was. It really is.
What kinds of stuff? I know that the program has done like six houses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like what kind of changes are most often things that save people a lot of money?
Well, I guess they look at windows. I mean, insulation in the attic, blown-in insulation. I mean, foam insulation underneath the floor. You got to look at your hot water heater. You got to look at your heat pump. I mean, a lot of people, you know, and this is an old coal camp. It's old houses, you know, in the coal camp. And some of the heat pumps and stuff that are being used are 30 years old. This has helped a few homes. With this donation that we just recently received, which is over $200,000, we're planning on doing hopefully 20 homes out of that. So it has been a problem in the past. Like I said, a lot of these camp houses, they're old. They just don't have insulation in some of them. Some of them, the windows, you know, haven't been replaced since they've been built. You know, one of the cool things about this program is you got a lot of homeowners within the city that are on a fixed income and are unable to upgrade, you know, things that need to be upgraded at their house. And then, you know, with us being able to come in and do that for them, it helps them on their electric bill. And there is a payback, but, you know, with that payback, it's an interest-free loan. Basically through the power board. Well, it's not really through the power board, it's through the energy saves program.
What can somebody do if they live in Benham and they're just hearing about this now and they want
to? Go to the Benham power board, talk to Tiff, ask for Tiffany, and ask her to explain it to them. She'll explain it to them and she will show them how to fill out an application. And once the application's filled out, they'll be considered. And the way we do the applications, once they do the applications and they qualify, then it's not the way they're picked for the next house is the highest kilowatt use. The more you need it, the faster you come up the list.
For WMMT, I'm Sydney Bowles.
The Hemp Hill Community Center makes its home in an old school building in a coal camp in Letcher County, Kentucky. Countless tons of coal have passed out of the town over the decades, but now the community center, which is also home to the Black Sheep Bakery, is transitioning to a solar-powered operation. WMMT's Mimi Pickering recorded the Black Sheep Bakery's first birthday party and solar ribbon-cutting event on June 21st, 2019.
Welcome everybody. We're so glad to have you here. It's a really momentous occasion for us. We're really excited. I'd like to ask Les Rowe, would you come up? And Angie Hatton. These are two people that's been instrumental in our Black Sheep Bakery and in the solar that has just gotten installed. And Angie Hatton really went to bat for us, as she always does. And I wanted to give her a chance to say something about the battle in Frankfurt, House Bill 627, 100, whatever. But she fought with us through two different bills and got an amendment. And now that ours are installed, we get grandfathered in by the end of the year because of her rally at her house.
I tell you, I am so proud to be here. I'm so proud of what Gwen's done and what all of the hard work of all of you all have done. And if anybody doubted that this sort of business model would work, here we are 1 year, and I feel like that's proof. They probably need a big hand. I think that the whole idea of Black Sheep Bakery is what the future of the battle in our fight against the opioid addiction is. I think that remembering that people are human, that they're still lovable, that everybody deserves a second chance, and that we never give up on our friends and neighbors and our loved ones. We never give up. And we don't leave them stranded. So when people ask for help, you give them help and you stick with them. And then you go the extra mile, like what Black Sheep Bakery has done. And I think it's a really amazing thing that we've got here in our community that could be modeled in lots of other places, and I talk about it everywhere I go. And as far as the solar stuff goes, I am so glad that this community has finally figured out that you don't have to hate coal miners to get involved with the solar project. And it just, that was never a war, and I don't know why it was labeled that way, but it's not. And I still love my daddy, who's a coal miner, and I think we're all proud of our heritage, but we recognize that solar is a very economical way to get our power and to get our power bills down. And it's been a really beautiful arrangement with a lot of the different community groups have worked together to help each other get solar. So I just, when I think about what all is being done right here in Hempel, I feel like there's a future here, and they give me hope, and I'm just real glad to know every single one of you guys. Thank you.
Now, I've invited Les Rowe up. Les Rowe is the area coordinator for MACID. They are an agency that will give loans to high-risk people. And there's no way we could have got these solar panels on the top of this building without them sticking their neck out a little bit, so to speak, to help us.
I just say that a project like this is really easy to do when you have somebody like Gwen Johnson doing the work and leading the effort. It's really hard to tell her no, and I don't know if any of you have done that successfully, but I'd like pointers for that. MACID is very happy to be a part of a project like this. Solar energy generation is absolutely, as Representative Hatton said, is absolutely hand-in-hand with everything else we do and have done. Frankly, it's no different than raising chickens or growing corn. It's a way to provide for yourself and improve your own resources while simultaneously being a part of your own community. And that's what I think Gwen and Hempel Community Center and Black Sheep Bakery have done and are doing. We are exceedingly proud of the work that they have put into this to make this happen. And I have no doubt that they will continue to be the model for Appalachia's new day and for the work that we're all doing to advance our own communities and be a better place where our children and our grandchildren can be and want to be, and other people's children and grandchildren can be and want to be. So thank you, Gwen, and thank you all for the work that you've done.
Thank you. All right, so we're going to have a ribbon cutting for the solar, and we want Mommy to come up here, Mabel Johnson. And the black sheep up here, we're going to get on each side. Mommy, you can stand right in front of this little sheep cake. And then Mommy's going to cut it and
cut back.
There you go.
Don't cut,
Brandon. Yay!
Most folks living in Central Appalachia would agree that we need to create a new economy to counter the coal industry's decline. But the question becomes how? In the next piece, Mimi Pickering delves into history and new developments of the Reclaim Act, proposed federal legislation that would more rapidly release funding from the $2.5 billion Abandoned Mine Lands Trust Fund for regional reclamation and redevelopment projects. She talks with Eric Dixon from Appalachian Citizens Law Center in Whitesburg, Kentucky, and Adam Wells from Appalachian Voices New Economy Program in Norton, Virginia.
Most folks living in Central Appalachia would agree that we need to create a new economy to counter the coal industry's decline. But the question becomes how? Recognizing that building a diverse and sustainable regional economy takes investment, Coalfields residents came together several years ago to propose the Reclaim Act, federal legislation that would more rapidly release money from the $2.5 billion Abandoned Mine Lands Trust Fund for regional reclamation and redevelopment projects. In the fall of 2018, Appalachian Citizens Law Center, Appalachian Voices, Coalfield Development Corporation, Rural Action, and Downstream Strategies released a report that shares concrete examples and ideas for projects in four Appalachian states that could create new economic opportunities using AML pilot project funds and those from the Reclaim Act if it is passed by Congress. Eric Dixon, Policy Coordinator at Appalachian Citizens Law Center, has been instrumental in researching the Abandoned Mine Land Trust Fund and organizing support for the Reclaim Act.
The Surface Mining Control and Reclamation Act passed in 1977, and when Congress passed that legislation, it did two main things. It regulated on the federal level coal mining moving forward. And the second thing that it did was created policy and a program at the federal government to address some of the problems from past coal mining before that legislation was created. And one of those programs was the Abandoned Mine Land Program. And that federal program cleans up all of the land and water that is negatively impacted by abandoned coal mines throughout the country. And I should say, the only coal mines that apply to that specific program, the AML program, are those that were abandoned prior to the passage of that legislation. Moving forward, coal companies and state regulators were supposed to address reclamation a lot better than they had previously. Now, it hasn't always worked out that way. But, you know, the funding mechanism for that program is a per-ton fee on coal mining through the abandoned mine land fee. And a lot of that money has gone to cleaning up these sites. But there's been some money that has stayed in the federal government, in kind of the federal coffers, little by little, every year since 1977. And over four decades now, there's a pot of money that has built up. And that's called the Abandoned Mine Land Trust Fund, and that sits at about $2.5 billion right now. And that is where a lot of people see opportunity to distribute that money across the country, clean up a lot of the sites that still haven't been cleaned up yet, put people to work doing that, and pursue development projects on and around those sites once they're cleaned up.
Adam Wells directs Appalachian Voices' New Economy Program in Norton, Virginia. He says that when the Reclaim Act was first introduced in Congress in 2016, there were lawmakers, especially from outside the area, who were skeptical of the interest or need for such a redevelopment effort. Staff from Appalachian Voices knew better and began to look for model projects in southwestern Virginia that could use these kind of reclamation funds and have long-term economic benefits. Here is Adam.
What D.C. politicians were saying was folks don't want to see innovative use of AML. Like, that's a bad idea. The Power Plus plan is garbage and we're never going to pass it. And we knew that the reality on the ground here was that no matter what people's political persuasion is, like, we need economic redevelopment desperately. And that really urgent need allowed people to think differently and in new ways about what we should do. And so that there is like this kind of bipartisan or really apolitical support for investments in Appalachia. And so we organized localities across Appalachia to pass resolutions of support in favor of the Power Plus plan, which had that one of the key elements was this funding for AML. So kind of in the wake of that, as support was mounting, we realized that we needed to kind of demonstrate that the AML funding could be used for innovative reclamation. That was an idea that had, you know, that shovel-ready ideas. And so in Southwest Virginia, Appalachian Voices put together this report that found about 15 projects across our seven counties that would be ideal candidates for the Reclaim Act funding. But we put that report together and released it in 2016. And, you know, so the goal there was to demonstrate and build support for the Reclaim Act, kind of prove that in Southwest Virginia we were, you know, ready to spend that money. And then the third goal was to kind of provide a concept in Southwest Virginia that could be expanded to the whole region, because certainly it's not just a Southwest Virginia thing. And so as momentum grew behind the Reclaim Act, there became more interest from across the region to do a broader study. And so the Reclaiming Appalachia Coalition kind of emerged out of that. And the report that Eric's been mentioning is now kind of a regional version of that one that we did in Southwest Virginia. And this time we've looked at five projects per state and focusing really on the ones that have the most legs and are the most likely to be funded. And part of the work that we do is not just like highlight these projects, but work with partners to develop proposals to the individual state agencies so that they can get funded. And we've been successful already in some of that and hope to see more success in the future.
The report is titled Many Voices, Many Solutions, Innovative Mine Reclamation in Central Appalachia. It features 15 current and potential projects that run the gamut from high-value farming to solar installations, from river cleanup to recreational developments, housing projects, and downtown revitalization. Eric Dixon believes these projects represent a more sustainable kind of development than past efforts to bring in a large factory or prop up extractive industries.
We have, for a long time, pursued development in the region that looks like trying to recruit large businesses or corporations to come here, and oftentimes they don't, or when they do, they're here for a little while and then they leave. And also, those traditional types of development often don't start with what we have. They don't start with by looking around our community and identifying, you know, what we have that's special here and what are our assets, and then building on those. And to me, the fundamental takeaway from this report is you can look at the types of economic development that we need to do here and build on here and pursue development in a way that's not extractive. And that's possible. That is possible here. I mean, a lot of people will tell you that economic development like that isn't realistic or practical, but I think what we're trying to demonstrate with this report, and some, you know, some of these have been funded already, is that they, you know, that is a realistic approach to how to pursue community and economic development in this place. And the particulars, you know, or the assets that I'm talking about here with the projects in this report are, you know, what we call innovative mine reclamation. So right now we have a lot of these land and water that's damaged by coal mining. And that's a liability right now. I mean, it's a threat to public health and safety. It impedes economic development because people don't want to live and work in a place or start a business in a place that is dangerous or unhealthy. And it takes those liabilities and it creates out of them assets. You know, we can actually put people to work cleaning those up, creating healthier, cleaner communities, and then doing something with them afterwards, which, you know, these projects have future economic development pieces tied to them as well. There is very strong local support for the idea of not only cleaning up abandoned coal mines and creating opportunity out of them, but of specifically of these pieces of legislation. And hopefully Congress will take action and actually make that a reality sooner rather than later.
Since the report was published, a number of the projects featured have been funded with AML pilot project monies in Virginia and West Virginia. On April 9th, the Reclaim Act was reintroduced in the U.S. Congress. More than 20 local and national organizations across the country have endorsed the legislation. And Coalfields residents have recently visited Washington, D.C. to lobby for its passage. This is Mimi Pickering reporting for WMMT.
That's it for this episode of Mountain News. If you'd like to hear this or previous episodes again, you can find them on our website at wmmt.org, or download Mountain News as a podcast from SoundCloud or Stitcher. Music on this episode features Anna and Elizabeth with Sun to Sun from Apple Shop's own June Apple Recordings. That song is part of the album The Very Day I'm Gone, Songs of Addie Graham. I've been your host, Tommy Anderson, and from all of us at WMMT, thanks for listening to Real People Radio.
This has been Mountain News and World Report, a production of WMMT-FM, Mountain Community Public Radio, the non-commercial broadcast service of the world-famous Apple Shop in Whitesburg, Kentucky.